Our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, which keepeth truth forever, and who never forsakes the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you in peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen.
Congregation, we will continue this morning's worship service singing from Psalter 332, stanzas 1 and 2. Forever settled in the heavens, thy word, O Lord, shall firmly stand. Thy faithfulness shall never fail. The earth abides at thy command. We sing 332, stanzas 1 and 2. Scripture reading for this morning can be found in the Epistle of Paul to the Ephesians, chapter 6. We will start reading at verse 10. Ephesians 6, beginning at verse 10. But first we will hear the holy law of God. God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. We mentioned to Ephesians 6, beginning at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak, but that ye also may know my affairs and how I do. Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen.
Dear congregation, let us seek the Lord's countenance in prayer as we may be together on this first day in his house on this new year. Let us pray together. Merciful, gracious, faithful Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, thou who art the same yesterday, today, and forever, thou changest not. And we read in thy word that because thou art that faithful God, that the sons of Jacob are not consumed. Lord, on this first day of this new year, the doors of thy house again have been opened. And we have the privilege and the responsibility to gather in thy house, to hear what thou hast to say unto us through thy everlasting living testimony of thy precious word. And Lord, may we see the wonders of thy mercy and of thy grace, of thy long-suffering patience unto us, unworthy sinners, that thou art yet willing to speak unto us, that thou art yet willing to proclaim law and gospel, as we heard this morning from thy word already. And Lord, we beg thee then, as we are together on this first day of this new year in thy house, may we beg thee for thy presence. Lord, may it not be evil in thy sight that we open our sinful lips unto thee, a holy, a righteous, a just God, but also a merciful God, a God who said in thy precious word, open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. And Lord, then as we begin this year, we have many needs. And unto whom can we go with all our cares, all our needs, for our body and for our soul, but unto thee, that almighty creator of the heavens and of the earth, thou who hast made all things, thou who governs over all things, thou who upholds all things, and thou art that almighty God, and nothing upon this whole earth and in the whole universe happens without thy will. It's all under thy providence. Oh, may that be our comfort as we begin this year. And Lord, we beg thee then that thou would not only provide what we need for our bodies, but especially for our never-dying souls. Lord, we were created in thy image. We have sinned against thee. We have rebelled against thee. We have offended the highest majesty in heaven with our rebellion and wickedness in paradise, but also with our own personal actual sins. Have mercy upon us, O God, and look upon us through thy Son, and wilt thou work mightily, irresistibly yet, for thy name's sake, that thy kingdom may come by thy word and by thy Holy Spirit. Oh, bless thy word, Lord, that may be proclaimed in thy house, but also in our homes and in the school. Lord, we beg thee for that irresistible work of the Holy Spirit upon thy word. And thou hast said, it's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, then bless thy word. Give new hearts. Give that boys and girls may be born again, teenagers, adults, older ones, that hearts of stone may be taken away and hearts of flesh may be given, that sinners may be born again, that they may be translated into thy kingdom, that they may be brought upon that narrow pathway that leadeth unto thee. And Lord, remember all thy dear people who have been born again. Oh, we beg that thou would care for each one of them. May thy word in this year be a blessing unto them, that they come to a place in themselves again and again that they have nothing, that all their righteousnesses are filthy rags, that they may be led, brought to that one who is the Lord, our righteousness. Oh, Lord, we beg thee then use thy law as a mirror before us, to convince and convict us of all our sins against thee. But also may thy law be that way in the hearts of thy dear children to express their gratitude unto thee. And Lord, thou wilt teach in that school of grace, in that by thy Holy Spirit, of how great our sins and miseries are, but also of that only way of deliverance through thy Son. And then there will also be that gratitude. Oh, we beg thee in this year that sinners may come to know by thy grace and by the irresistible work of the Holy Spirit that only comfort in life and in death. And Lord, we have begun this year together, and will we end this year together? Thou knowest all that will take place. Oh, may we hear it, that we must be prepared to meet thee, that thou art returning, but also that our own personal life is uncertain. Tomorrow is uncertain. And thou hast said in thy word, today if thou hear his voice, harden not your heart. O, wilt thou then give broken hearts, hearts that confess sin, hearts that cry out unto thee, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Hearts that cry out, what must I do to be saved? Oh, we beg thee, Lord, that thy word may be richly blessed, and that thou would teach and lead and guide to that only place of rest, to that only place where there may be that peace and true joy, where there may be that sweet communion, Lord, with thee, and that is in and through thy Son, him who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, that thou would bind up Satan, oh, that enemy who would love to destroy thy church. He's that enemy of that kingdom, of thy kingdom, but also enemy of all thy dear children. Oh, teach us that we need that armor of God, that we need to be standing in that only place, armed with the strength of the Lord, with his Spirit, with his grace, that we need to be in Christ. Oh, we beg thee, wilt thou then make that only citizens of thy kingdom by thy free and sovereign grace, because by nature we are only enemies of thee. We only fight against thee. O Lord, have mercy then. Change enemies into friends. Take from that power of Satan and sin in the world and bring into that only kingdom under thee, under that precious Savior, that King and Lord and Savior. Oh, may we see and long for that blessed place to be under thee, under that good shepherd, to be thy sheep, to be one of thy little lambs, to be cared for by thee, guided by thee, protected by thee, and kept by thee. Lord, wilt thou help them in all the different cares and means in the congregation, fully known unto thee, wherever thy word may be shared, spoken of, blessed Lord. We pray that thy kingdom may come not only among us in this year, in the hearts of sinners, but also throughout the world, in this community, in Canada, but also to nations, among Jew and Gentile. Bless all the efforts of mission and evangelization, Lord, bless it for thy name's sake. Help each one. We pray and ask thee, Lord, to remember then all thy servants throughout the world, all elders, deacons, all church workers, missionary, evangelists, all those thou hast called to work in thy vineyard. Lord, we're sons of men, sinners, and may we yet be used as instruments in thy hand for the glory of thy name, for the salvation of sinners, and the edification of thy dear people. Lord, remember also in this morning all the sick and afflicted. Care for them, all those who are mourning. Comfort them, sanctify all these callings unto us. Lord, help us then as parents to instruct our children in the truth of thy word. Help our children to listen. Remember all those who are single. Remember widows, widowers. Lord, we beg and pray thee that thou would remember each one individually, not only for their bodies, but especially for their never-dying souls. Lord, we pray, remember the school, Rehoboth Christian School. Lord, bless thy word there richly. Guide and lead the board. Remember the staff. Give God-fearing teachers. And bless thy word also to the students. Lord, remember us also as a nation in this coming year. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, that there would be a revival, that there would be repentance and a returning unto thee and to thy law and to thy ways. Oh, we beg thee for thy name's sake, convict and convince of sin, and work mightily by thy word and spirit throughout this nation. And so, Lord, we lay all these needs before thee, and now we may also have the opportunity to listen again in the beginning of this year to thy precious word. Take away all other distractions, cares, and concerns, and that we may be given ears to hear and hearts to receive. Oh, by thy grace would we not only be hearers, but that by thy grace we may become doers, that we may become those who have those fruits of true repentance and true faith. Lord, remember the poor and needy, those poor beggars, those ones who cannot give a name unto themselves, O care for them also by thy word and spirit in this year. And Lord, we beg thee, remember us, visit us with thy salvation for thy name's sake, for thy honor, for thy glory, and for the only comfort of our souls. Lord, we deserve nothing, but we beg thee, wilt thou come among us? Thou hast promised where two or three are gathered together in thy name, thou wilt be in the midst. Give the unction of the Holy Spirit to preach, but also to listen. Give much prayer, give opening. And Lord, we beg thee, do not pass us by as thou could justly do, but look upon us through thy dear Son, in whom thou art well pleased, in whom we beg and pray all what we have laid before thee. In Jesus' name, amen. Congregation, let us continue now with singing from Psalter 247, all six stanzas. O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home. 247, all six stanzas in the collections for this morning is the first for the church and the second for the North American General Mission Fund. May the Lord bless you and your gifts. Dear congregation, I would like to wish you all, brothers in the consistory, but also the whole congregation, boys, girls, teenagers, parents, singles, older ones, I wish you a blessed new year. But I have a question. What is a blessing? Is it a blessing that we have food and drink? Yes, it is a blessing. Is it a blessing to have health? Yes. Is it a blessing that the Lord cares for all our needs day by day in this year? Yes. And we may ask Him for all those things, but that's to do with our body. We don't only have a body, we have a soul. And the Lord has blessed us with His precious word, law, and gospel. May the Lord richly bless that among us, to our hearts. And we have a church. We may gather together on the Lord's days and other times during the week. We may come together to worship the Lord. We may be gathered together in His house as a body. What a blessing. We also may be members. Confessing member or a baptized member. What a blessing. What a blessing that the Lord has separated us from millions upon this earth and that He wants to shower us with blessings. With not just blessings for our bodies, but blessings for our soul, for our never dying soul. But I still have a question. What is it to be blessed? What is a blessing? Congregation, all those blessings we may be thankful for, and we should, but that's not sufficient. What do we need? What is it to be really blessed? That's to be a member of the living church, to be brought into the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And remember, that church has two parts. There's a part on this earth, and there's a part in heaven, redeemed. The church triumphant, and on this earth is the church militant. The church militant. Why is it called the church militant? And my prayer is that you may be brought into this church, the church militant, the living church, the church of Jesus Christ, by His word and by His spirit. And those that have been brought in or will be brought in, that they may be that militant church fighting that battle. But why is it called the church militant? Because they're in a battle. We're in a battle. There's a spiritual battle going on through this world since the fall unto the end of the world. And so this morning I would like to begin with an introductory of that Christian soldier and the battle. And the Lord willing, through the year, when the Lord opens or gives an opportunity to consider those different parts of the armor. And so this morning will be an introduction, what we will consider from Ephesians 6, verse 10 through 13. Ephesians 6, verse 10 through 13. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. So far from God's word. The theme this morning is the Christian soldier. And that leads to a question immediately. Are you a Christian soldier? So first, our theme, the Christian soldier. Three thoughts. The first thought is the Christian soldier is translated into a new battle. Did you hear it? The Christian soldier is translated into a new battle. Second, the Christian soldier and his most certain victory. They will be victorious. Why? Because they're good soldiers? No. Because of their captain, conquerors in Jesus Christ. And then the last thought, the Christian soldier and his purpose for fighting. There's a purpose. What is it? So the Christian soldier is translated into a new battle. The Christian soldier and his most certain victory. And the Christian soldier and his purpose for fighting. May the Lord richly bless his word for his glory and for the comfort of your never dying soul. So the Christian soldier is translated into a new battle. Congregation, we are not born as a Christian soldier. Not at all. We're born as enemies. We're born as enemies of God and enemies of Jesus Christ. And we are fighting against him. We are in a battle by nature. But we're not in the right battle. We're not under that captain. We're under Satan. And we fight against the Lord Jesus Christ. And so at the beginning of this year, my question for you, how are you beginning this year? Are you still under Satan? Are you still fighting against Christ? Are you still an enemy of God, an enemy of Jesus Christ, an enemy of the truth? Are you dead in sins and trespasses? I hope your heart is conquered by the irresistible power of the Holy Spirit. And I hope you lose all your weapons, that they're all taken away, and that you become a true Christian soldier, that you become one of his people, that you become a citizen of his kingdom. His people are Christian soldiers, made Christian soldiers. For the first step is to be made a Christian soldier. And sometimes we hear, for example, in the United States, maybe also in Canada, there's announcements that you can be enrolled, or that you can be enlisted in the army, that you can voluntarily go forward and to enlist yourself. And the Lord calls us. Yes, he calls us. But not one sinner will ever enroll himself, enlist in that army. Why? Because we're dead in sins and trespasses. We only hate the king by nature, and we're enemies. So we need to be made a Christian soldier. And that's my prayer for your soul. That would be such a blessing. Who has the power to take those that are in the kingdom of darkness and to bring into the kingdom of his dear son? Who has the power to make dead sinners who are only enemies, to make them a true Christian soldier? Who has the power to make you what you need to be able to die in peace and meet the Lord? The Almighty God. We read in Colossians 1 verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. So you see a battlefield. And this world, there's two groups. There's two groups. There are those who are under the power of Satan, fighting against the King of Kings, the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are those who are translated out of that battle into that kingdom of Jesus Christ. And they become soldiers and they begin to fight under him, with his grace, with his spirit, armed with his armor, against sin, against Satan. God makes Christian soldiers. God makes citizens of his kingdom. And that's my prayer for you, that you become a true Christian soldier in the heart. What is a Christian soldier? A Christian soldier is one who's born again, translated from the kingdom of Satan into the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're made completely new, born again. A radical renewal takes place in them by the power of the Holy Spirit. They surrender unto a new captain. They surrender unto a new king, a king they hated before, a king they fought against. By the irresistible power of the Holy Spirit, they become lost in self. And they seek everything only in that king. They come to love that king that they hated. They want to serve that king that they didn't want to serve at all. May I ask you, are you a Christian soldier? Are you a citizen of the kingdom? A true believer? A true Christian soldier lives a life that is a paradox. That means it's a contrast. Two things opposing that seem such a contradiction. What? Well, the Lord Jesus described them in those Beatitudes. Poor in spirit, but they shall receive a kingdom. They're mourning because of sin, but they shall be comforted. Their hunger and thirst after righteousness, but they shall be filled. They go from a cross to a crown. They're under the King of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ, but they're in a battle, and they will be led to that place of peace. They come to nothing in themselves. They don't become better soldiers. They become weaker and poorer. They become that they completely depend upon the King to fight in His power, in His strength, in His spirit, in His grace. They become nothing in self to obtain everything in that King, in that Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The life of a true Christian soldier is completely surrendering everything, your whole will, unto Him, to follow Him, to serve Him, to obey Him, to belong unto Him. And that's a way from decreasing in self, painful for the flesh, but profitable, so profitable to the soul, to increase in Him that He becomes everything. To be a Christian soldier, to be a citizen of Him, that is a blessing. That's my prayer for you. And Christian soldiers, you who are made Christian soldiers, there's also such a precious word this morning as begin this year. We look forward. What will all take place? What will all the different evils come against us? We don't know. But listen, there's hope because in Him, there will be victory. And yet, Christian soldier, you are in a battle. In a battle. What do you need to fight against? What's the greatest enemy that's so close? It's your own flesh. Paul wrote in Colossians 3 verse 5, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. So you see those soldiers under that captain, under that king, they fight. They are to fight. They become soldiers and they need to fight against their own flesh. That enemy is within them, but that enemy is also without them in this world. They need the armor of God. Christian soldier, children of God, you need the armor of God to live in this world. William Gurnall wrote a whole beautiful book about Ephesians 6 and the armor of God. I would like to read you something this morning from what he said. The Christian life is like walking on a narrow path between two rows of hedges. And behind the hedges on both sides are the forces of evil aiming at you as you travel down this narrow path. The force of evil is Satan. He wants to have you, and he will unleash all his powers of hell to get at those who are the citizens of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Why? Because he is an enemy of Christ, and he cannot attack Christ anymore. So he attacks the church of Christ, which are the true believers, which are the Christian soldiers. My friend, are you a Christian soldier, or are you still an enemy of the King, the Lord Jesus Christ? You need to be made a soldier, and you may ask Him, He who has the power to take you out of that kingdom of death and of eternal destruction, to put you in that new kingdom, in the kingdom of His Son. And have you been made a citizen of that kingdom? We begin a new year. And as we meditate on the scripture this morning, we need to know, We need to realize. We need to be awake. We need to be alert. It's a battle. It's a spiritual battle. And there's a great enemy of the flesh within, but also of Satan and all the powers of principalities of darkness desiring to destroy. And he will not leave that church, those citizens at peace for a moment. Satan is powerful. And he cannot resist him in our own strength and in our own power. He is a liar. He is a murderer from the beginning. He hates God and he hates everything that belongs to God. And what is so precious that belongs unto God and to Jesus Christ? That's his church. That's his dear beloved sheep. And he will do everything to destroy them. You need to be alert, citizens, soldiers. Children of God, you need to be alert in this new year. Children, teenagers, what is one of the most dangerous things that a soldier can do? What is one of the most dangerous things that he can do? Think that his enemy doesn't exist. To think there is no enemy. Why? Why is this so dangerous? Because then he's not alert. Then he's not alert for the enemy, and he can be easily captured. Easily captured. The worst thing for a Christian soldier, for a citizen of that kingdom of Jesus Christ, is to think that Satan doesn't exist, to think that there's no evil, there's no enemy, or to ignore this reality. Congregation, God is real. His son Jesus Christ is real. Sin is real, but also all those evils that we don't see in this world, it is real. There's a battle going on that we can't see with our physical eye. But do you know of this battle? Are you in this battle? Or are you still fighting against this king? The enemy, Jesus Christ, has many snares. We read in verse 14. Stand therefore. No. It's verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. What does that word mean? The wiles of the devil. That means snares. The cunning, crafty, deceitful snares of Satan. He's wise. He's had thousands of years to study us. And he knows how to attack us. He knows exactly how to attack us. The citizens of the kingdom of the kingdom. He knows how to attack those soldiers. He knows how to attack those dear sheep of the shepherd. And he loves to attack them. He would love to destroy them. He would love to take away all their peace and joy. He would actually love to have them, that they come to absolute eternal destruction. Because then he would rejoice. Because then he would have something to rejoice about. He's crafty. He has wiles. Remember Peter? He knew his weakness. He knew his weakness. He tempted him through that maid. He tempted him, and Peter fell deep. He knew the weakness of David with his flesh. He tempted him with Bathsheba, and he fell. Satan is so observant. No, he has much knowledge. He's not all-knowing, but he has much knowledge. And he knows our own personal weakness that we struggle with. And so, Christian soldiers, you need to be alert as you begin this new year. You need to be a soldier and you need to be alert. You need to be ready for battle. The enemy is real. He exists. He's living and he wants to attack you. And Satan knows you most perfectly. He knows your weakness. He knows my weakness. He knows how to tempt us. And he does it perfectly because he wants us to fall. He wants to destroy us. He doesn't want us to have any joy in that precious gospel. A soldier in Paul's time always needed to be alert. They had to use their eye. They didn't have all the technology that we have today with surveillance and all kinds of different technology. They had to be alert all the time, always watching with that eye. The enemy could come at any moment. A mighty enemy, a crafty enemy could come and attack them. But the enemy of the church, the enemy of those citizens of the kingdom of heaven is very crafty, very wise, and he's mighty, and he's very smart and cunning. We read in verse 12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." The life of the citizens of those kingdoms is not a life of ease. It's a life of a battle. They need to be in a battle. How does Paul describe that battle? It's a fierce battle. We read again in verse 12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers." This battle involves fierce forces of darkness and of evil. It is a conflict of life and death, and it has eternal consequences. Everything is at stake, and there can be no compromising. Sometimes we have battles and wars. We think of the Ukraine, and they try to make peace treaties between those enemies. There can be no peace treaty with this enemy. We need to be ready for battle, and it's a fierce enemy. It's not just a fun wrestling match between teenage boys that they wrestle sometimes and one wins and another wins. No, this is a fierce spiritual battle. The prince of darkness, he's so evil, he's so powerful, and at times, what does he do? He even comes as an angel of light. Listen to what we read in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 14, "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." And he even uses the word of God, but he just gives it a little twist to destroy everything. He comes as an angel of light. And Paul knew that. And he said, if an angel comes and preaches, if he preaches any other gospel, even if it's an angel, and it's not according to the word of God, be alert. Be alert for evil and for sin and for that fierce, wicked enemy. But it's not only a fierce battle against those powers. It's a spiritual battle. Verse 12, "against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." It's a spiritual battle. He doesn't come with guns and swords aiming at us. We can't see it with our physical eye, but he comes with spiritual darkness. What does he do? What does he aim at? He aims at the truth. He wants to destroy the truth and how he tried to destroy the truth of who King Jesus is. He did everything in his might in the history of this world to destroy who he is. Because if he can destroy who he is and the truth of he is, there's no hope. There's no salvation. He would like to say he's only a prophet, but he's not only a prophet. He would like to say he's only a man, but he's not only a man. He's very God, he's man, and he's a righteous man. He aims also at those doctrinal truths of Tulip. He would like to destroy those doctrines of grace, because you destroy those truths, and man is lost, because that's the foundation of the work of God, those experiential truths of how God works in the heart of a sinner, where man becomes nothing and God becomes everything. How he longs to attack justification by faith alone, by grace alone, in Christ alone, and it will be to the glory of God alone. He wants to destroy that all. We need to be alert. But he also goes at the very heart of those citizens of the kingdom. He wants to destroy them. He attacks them. And sometimes he comes so mightily, so powerfully, that he even whispers in their mind and in their heart blasphemies against God. And they don't even know, is it me or is it someone else? And he brings them in such bonds. Such bonds. He's so evil. He's so wicked. He's so invisible. So invisible. And we need weapons to fight against him. Christian soldiers, we need to be alert. There's invisible enemies, fierce spiritual enemies. But it's not only a battle that's fierce, it's not only spiritual, it's also a battle that we need to be daily alert. Daily alert. Church of God, Satan would love to destroy us. And there's a spiritual battle. And we need to be alert every day. Verse 13, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. So we hear of the evil day. What's that? This refers to the New Testament era after the Lord Jesus Christ ascended and the Holy Spirit was poured out unto the end of time. Satan has lost the battle. He knows he has lost the battle against the King of Kings. He lost the battle against Jesus Christ. He tried everything to keep him from being born. He tried to have him killed when he was born. He did everything to keep him from going to the cross. And yet Christ, faithfully, that faithful captain, that faithful king, steadfastly went and fulfilled that way of salvation for his beloved church. Nothing could defeat him, and nothing will defeat him. But the gates of hell will prevent against him and prevail against him and his kingdom. And he died, and on the cross, he conquered Satan. And he rose again, and he ascended into heaven. And that enemy, Satan, knows he can't touch the Lord Jesus Christ anymore. He's powerless. And so he goes after who? He goes after the church. He goes after the woman, which is the church, as we read in Revelation 12, verse 7. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keepeth the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. We read in Ephesians 6, verse 13, the evil day. This day is now, congregation. We are living in the evil day. And this is only described as a day because it's short in comparison with eternity. It's so incredibly short, but it's real. It's a fierce battle, and we need to be alert in this short time, in this evil day. Soldiers sometimes fight in a battle for a long time, and finally the battle is ended, and they can go home. Those Christian soldiers, will that battle end? Will the battle end while they're living? No. They need to fight from the moment they're placed into that kingdom. Translated, they become new and they begin to fight against what they loved. And they begin to serve that king very poorly and longing to do it more and more. And yet, it will come to an end when? When they die. Then that evil day will be over. It'll be over when the Lord Jesus Christ returns. My friend, are you in this battle? No citizens of the kingdom can escape this battle. Sometimes there's a battle and there's a war, and maybe some men don't want to go to war and they go through different means to escape. But these citizens cannot escape. They're in the battle, put in the battle, and they long, even when it's good, to fight against sin, Satan, world, and the flesh, and to serve him because he's worthy. My friend, are you born again? Are you translated? Are you a Christian soldier? And if you are, you're in this battle, and it must be fought. And then Paul also is very honest. He tells them, and I must tell you also, it's not only serious, it's not only fierce, it's not only spiritual, it's not only a daily battle, but it's against such overwhelming odds. Such overwhelming odds. Why? Paul is honest. And it seems so discouraging, but he wants to be honest. He has a purpose. Why? Because they have their own flesh. And now think of a battle with two different armies. And aren't we not a little offended, especially of those Dutch that helped the Germans, a traitor? Aren't we offended? Weren't they despised in that time, traitors of their own country? But in this battle, in that battle, under King Jesus, in those soldiers, there's an ally with the enemy. Listen closely. Are they traitors? No. That's not what I mean. But in their hearts, there's something that even agrees with that other powerful enemy. What is it? Their flesh. Their flesh. We can say, no, that flesh is gone. No, that flesh is living. So there's such overwhelming odds. Why? Because our flesh still wants to follow that other enemy, that other one that's in that other battle, Satan. Our flesh is an ally. Listen to what Paul wrote in Romans 7. The good that I would, I do not. And the evil that I would not do, that I do. And those soldiers, what have they become? Do they have a little plaque saying, I'm an excellent soldier? No, that plaque says, wretched soldiers, because of their flesh. Overwhelming odds. And yet, they're in that battle. They're in that battle under that king. And Paul is honest. Why? Because he wants to be realistic with the soldiers. He wants them to be alert. He wants them to be realistic that they would not depend upon their own strength, but that they would need daily to be in that battle, depending upon the strength of the Lord. I think of Peter, remember? He said, I will never deny thee. I will even lay down my life. And he meant it with his love. But Peter was so proud, he didn't really know himself. And we read in the Word of God, take heed, if you think you stand, you shall fall. And I paraphrase that. We need to be alert. We need to be alert, Church of God. We need to be a Christian soldier, but we need to be alert, depending upon him and upon his strength every day. And there is one. There's an almighty one, a powerful one. But may I ask you, as we come to the end of this first thought for this morning, a Christian soldier translated into a new battle, may I ask you, as you begin this year, are you, by God's grace, translated out of the kingdom of Satan and translated into the kingdom of Jesus Christ? There's only two kingdoms. You're in one or you are in the other. And we're born in the one and we need to be translated into the other. Because without that grace, we are still enemies. But these soldiers now that are in that new kingdom, in the kingdom of his dear son, those Christian soldiers, will they win the battle against all those odds, against Satan, sin, the world, and their own flesh? Will they win? And so we come to our second thought, the Christian soldier and his most certain victory. There is a fierce battle. It's a daily battle. It's a spiritual battle. And there's enemies against the church of Christ. You see those soldiers fighting? They begin to fight. They begin to fight with their will. Their will is renewed. They begin to hate sin. They begin to love righteousness. That's a mark of those citizens. But will they win? Will they become victorious? One side is going to win. Will they? Yes, they will. These soldiers, these Christian soldiers, will be victorious. Why? Because they're good soldiers? No. It's because of the Lord Jesus Christ, because him, he has already conquered. We read in Romans 8, verse 37, more than conquerors through him that loved us. And maybe you fear you will perish because of sin, because of Satan, children of God, because of all those powers of evil and wickedness. Maybe you fear you will perish. But this morning, look up. Look away from self. Look to that captain. Look to that king. He has conquered. And he said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, because none will pluck them out of my hand or out of the hand of my Father. They will be victorious. Why? Because Jesus Christ has conquered sin, death, hell, and Satan. He came to suffer. He came to die. He came to give himself. He came to give everything, to conquer Satan, and to open that way back unto God through his blood. They are conquerors. He came, and by his death, he conquered Satan. Hebrews 2, verse 14. For as much then as the children are partaker of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, and through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. And now imagine, there's a battle going on. There comes a battle in Canada, a war, a real war. And now imagine if the government gives us to fight against the enemy that has tanks and missiles and fighter jets, and the government gives us bows and arrows. You say that would be so hopeless. We can't conquer that enemy. How can soldiers ever win in this battle? Well, in this spiritual battle, they are already conquerors in Jesus Christ. The victory already has been won, but they're in this life, in the church, militant, and they are in the battle, and they need to fight, and they need armor. They need protection. They need armor, those Christian soldiers. They need a way of victory. A way of victory, and they will be victorious through him, because they already in that hands engraved in the palms of the Almighty God, and yet they're in the battle. And God himself provides everything necessary for the soldiers to be in the battle. He puts them in and he gives everything unto them. And the Holy Spirit inspired Paul to write about the way of victory. What is it? The way of victory. He mentions three things. First, he says in verse 10. Look in your Bible in verse 10. My brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Paul's command is like a general. We can picture him as a general. And he's under that captain, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's a general. He's a servant on this earth. And he's commanding soldiers. These soldiers are those citizens of the kingdom, believers in that time and unto the end of the world that are living in this evil day. And he gives them instructions. We can picture the church of Jesus Christ, one big army, and they're soldiers. And I say there's much respect, because we read in Hebrews 2 verse 10, the captain, the Lord Jesus Christ, sees his soldiers on this earth and he knows what they need. He knows their weaknesses. He knows their frail. He knows their dust. He knows their flesh. He knows Satan. He knows sin. He knows his enemies are strong. And so he sends his general, may I say it that way, Paul, to give them instruction. My brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Have no hope in your own power. Because if you only depend on your own power, then you will be destroyed. You will not come to victory at all. It will be absolute, utter failure. But be strong. Be strong in the Lord. Live in the Lord. Be connected, close to him, dependent upon him, upon his word, and upon his spirit. So the first thing, of the only way to victory in that battle, is to be strong in the Lord. Don't think you can fight this battle on yourself. Peter thought, David thought, and they both fell. We need to live, Church of God, strong in the Lord, connected to him in faith and dependent upon him. And there's two dangers of soldiers in a battle. Two dangers. What are they? First, that they become proud. I've had a little experience. I've been in this battle and I can fight this battle. I know what to do. Or the other danger is to become so disappointed, so discouraged and depressed. All you do is look at the enemy. All you do is look at the enemy. So those two dangers. Proud, and you think you can fight yourself. Or just look at the enemy and say it's hopeless, and you give up. No, Paul says, be strong in the Lord. Don't be strong in yourself. Don't only look at all those enemies, your flesh, Satan, sin, all those spiritual powers of wickedness, but be strong in the Lord. Are you in this battle? Are you a Christian soldier? Have you become a little proud, maybe? A little experience? Maybe some years of the battle? Maybe you've become a little at ease? You need to be alert. You need to become alert this very first day of this new year. Satan is real. Those powers are fierce, and he's ready to attack. He knows your weakness. You need to be strong in the Lord, dependent upon him every single day. What a humble lesson for us, because we don't have the strength. We need to be only connected to him and to be strong in the Lord. And then Paul says, what is the only way to victory? What is the only way to fight this battle? Strong in the Lord? Put on the armor of God. Put on the armor of God. Soldiers need to obey their generals. They can't come to war and say, I brought my own weapons. I brought my own armor. A policeman, he says, I don't need a gun. I'll just come with a bow and arrow. I got my own things. No, they're provided the necessary armor. They're provided what they need for their own protection. A Christian soldier, we need to lose all our own weapons. And we need to need and to use the armor of God. God provides all the armor that we need. What a wonder. He doesn't only take those citizens, make them his citizens out of the kingdom of darkness. He doesn't only bring them into that battle under him, but he also provides everything they need to be in that battle. That battle that they need to fight against sin, and the victory is in him, but they need to live and fight. What has the Lord chosen as armor? Look in your Bible, Ephesians 6, 14 through 18. There we read of the armor of God. All those parts, the girdle of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of the gospel, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, and prayer. Yes, prayer is also part of the armor. And with the Lord's blessing, we hope to speak of that in the future. But Paul says, put on. No, don't just take it home. Soldier, police officers, when you go to work, you don't just keep it at home. No, you take it with you. These soldiers need to put it on. They need to put on. It's not a suggestion. No, soldier, you need it, Christian soldier, church of God. You need the armor. You need to be strong in the Lord, and you need to put on the armor. You need to wear it. A soldier is given armor for a purpose. Purpose, to be armed in the battle. And a Christian soldier is given armor from God for a purpose. Because without it, he is an easy target for Satan. For Satan. He gives it for their protection. For their protection. And so the third thing that Paul says is put on the whole armor of God. He doesn't say just put on the armor. He says specifically put on the whole armor of God. That's important. You don't just need the breastplate. You don't go to war just with the breastplate. You don't just go as a policeman with a bulletproof vest. No, you need the other armor. And these soldiers have much more armor. They also need the helmet, because if you only have the breastplate, what will the enemy do? He will immediately go for your head. He will attack. So the Christian soldier needs to put on the whole armor of God. You need every single part. Listen today. You're in that spiritual battle. The enemy is fierce. He's alert. He's crafty. He's wise. He knows your weakness. He knows to where to attack. You need to be strong in the Lord. And you need all the whole armor of God. So what is the armor of God? We will see when we go through these pieces. What is it? It's Jesus Christ. Every piece is Jesus Christ. The armor of God is Jesus Christ. They need to be armed with Christ. Open your Bibles to Romans 13, verse 14. The armor of the soldier is Jesus Christ. They need to be strong in the Lord. They need to be in Christ Jesus. They need to be putting on Jesus Christ, as Paul writes in Romans 13, verse 14. Romans 13, verse 14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. And so we come to the end of our second thought. Remember the first thought? Theme, the Christian soldier. Let's have a little review. Children, You need to be a Christian soldier. You say, what is that? That's to be a born-again sinner. You need to be brought into the kingdom of God. You need to be under Him. You need to be under that King. You need to belong to Him. You need a new heart. You need to become a soldier of Him. And will those soldiers become victorious? Will they win the battle? Yes, they will. Why? Because of their captain, Jesus Christ. They will be victorious. And yet they live in this evil day. That means they live in this evil world. And they need the armor. They need to be strong in the Lord. They need to put on the armor of God. God provides everything. He does it all. And yet, they have a great responsibility to be alert, to be fighting, to be putting on the armor of God. But what's the purpose? What's the purpose? That the soldier needs to fight and must fight. Well, let's sing first from Psalter 71. Psalter 71, stanzas 1 and 5. And think about those soldiers, that they will become victorious. 71, verse 1 and 5. Jehovah is my light and my salvation near. Who shall my soul affright or cause my heart to fear? And what follows? Psalter 71, stanzas 1 and 5, standing. The Christian soldier, translated into a new battle. the Christian soldier and his most certain victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. And did you hear that singing? Amid the battle shock, in the battle, they may already sing victory. They may sing because of him. And church of God, lambs and sheep of the good shepherd, you look to a new year. We don't know what's coming, but may you also learn to live strong in the Lord. That means to live in him, to live in his might, dependent upon him. And that you may learn to put on the armor of God and to live in him. But may you also learn to look to him, that captain, and to learn in the battle that you may fight daily, that you may fight fiercely against all the powers of wickedness, but that you may also live with the joy in your hearts that the battle is most certainly victorious because of him, and that you may live looking to that future when you'll be delivered out. But now, in the evil day, you are still in the battle. You need to fight. Why? What's the purpose? What's the purpose if the battle already is victorious? Why do I need to fight? You need to fight for him. You need to fight for his honor. You need to fight for his glory, for him. The Christian soldier, he defends and he attacks. So there's offensive and there is also defensive. This is the life of the Christian soldier. That's what Paul writes about also in these verses. Let's read verse 13 again. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. We read, withstand. What does that mean? What does that mean for you, Christian soldier? What does that mean for you, citizen of the Lord Jesus Christ in his kingdom? You need to put on the armor of God, strong in the Lord, and you need to withstand. It means to oppose, to defend, to offend, defend. You need to defend yourself against all those powers of wickedness. You need to withstand. It means to oppose, to defend. You need to defend yourself, and you need to defend the truth to the utmost. No, not what you think is the truth, but what God says is the truth. You need to defend the truth of God's word. I must preach, thus saith the Lord. And you must be like the Berean. Study, is it so? Is it really the word of God? Not what you think, but what the word of God is. And we must proclaim the truth, whether the congregation likes it or not. Whether it hurts them or not, wounds them, it's necessary to be wounded to lead to the only Savior. We must preach the truth. We must defend the truth, because through the truth is the way of salvation, through him who is the truth. So we need to withstand. We need to defend ourselves. We need to be alert for our own self, for our own well-being, but for him, for the truth, for the kingdom of God. But what else? Paul writes in verse 11, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And the end of verse 13, and having done all, to stand. What does it mean? To stand. We heard what withstand means. It means to defend, to oppose. But what does it mean to stand? Does it mean just stand there like a soldier? No. It means to be active, to be alert, to have that sword, to have that shield, to have the helmet, to have the shoes on. Be alert, ready. Ready to attack the enemy. Not only to be passive, to be defensive, but to attack, to go forward, to conquer the enemy. A soldier wants to win the battle. A soldier wants to fight. Why? For the protection of his family, for the protection of his country. They don't only defend against the enemies, but they attack the enemy when he comes. The Christian soldier, he needs to withstand with the armor of God and the strength of the Lord to defend himself and to defend the truth, but he also needs to be offensive. He needs to promote the truth, defend the truth, and promote the truth for the glory of God, for his glory. That's the whole purpose, for the glory of God, for his name, for his honor, because through that way, the truth, those poor, needy sinners, broken and humbled, they need to hear the truth. And through the truth, they are helped, healed their wounds by his wounds, by the wounds of him, that captain who came to this world, who fought that battle, and who gave those wounds, those mortal wounds, that he died. And through those wounds is the victory. And there's coming also a reward for the soldiers. A reward. No, they don't earn it. But there's a reward. Because he has that captain, that victorious captain. In them they are more than conquerors. There's a reward coming for those soldiers. Sometimes we see that, right? On Veterans Day, we see those soldiers with all those different medals. But these soldiers, they also receive a reward. What? They will receive a kingdom. They will be taken home. My friend, are you a Christian soldier? That's the blessing. Simply, you need to be a child of God. You need to belong to that good shepherd, to be one of his sheep. That's my prayer for your soul in this year. That's my blessing, my desire for you. That would be the greatest blessing. That you become lost in self, and that you can only live with him, and that you learn to live in the strength of the Lord, and that you learn you need him every day, and that you may fight, but also with an eye, church. Don't just look at all the enemies. Don't just look at your flesh. That's so discouraging. We need it. Why? So we have no hope in self. But look, may you be given that eye of faith to him who conquered, who sits on the throne. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Look to him and look to that reward. Go forward in the strength of the Lord and put on the armor. And Paul could say, he could die in peace. What could he say? And that's also my desire for you who are citizens, that you may be able to say this with peace in your heart. But we read in 2 Timothy 4, verse 7 through 8, I have fought a good fight. Are you fighting? I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. A crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. What wonders. Meditate upon this, church of God. Fight the good fight. There's a reward coming. He will give, the righteous judge, unto them a crown of righteousness. They will be made holy. My friend, are you still fighting? Are you still an enemy? An enemy of God. An enemy of King Jesus. Oh, I hope you become conquered by his grace, by the word, and by his power of the Spirit. That you become lost, and that you're made by him, his soldier. And Christian soldiers, check your armor. Are you? Are you wearing all the armor? As we will consider, are you wearing all the armor? Are you using other weapons? Throw them away. Use only the armor that God has provided, and that is his Son. His Son and him and his word. And fight the battle. It's a worthy battle. It's a worthy battle because of him. He is worthy that we fight to defend the truth and to promote the truth for his honor and for his glory. May the Lord work mightily, irresistibly in this year for his glory and for his honor. For Jesus' sake alone, amen. Let us close in prayer. Almighty, eternal Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, oh, by nature we are only born enemies of thee, enemies of that precious Savior. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, show us who we are, ungodly, wicked enemies, and that we fight against thee. Oh, may many in this year become arrested, conquered, by the power of thy Holy Spirit and by thy word, and that they may be translated out of that kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of thy dear Son, that they may be made, as we have considered from thy word, in that warfare, in that battle, to be soldiers under thee, that faithful captain, that one in whom there is victory. O wilt thou teach also all thy dear children that they need to be alert every day, that there's a fierce battle, that they may put on the whole armor of God, that we would not depend upon anything in self, but that we may learn day by day to be following thee, to be needing thee, thy spirit, to be like Mary daily at thy feet. Lord, we ask then for thy honor, for thy glory, work mightily among us, that sinners would be born again, and that thy dear people may be instructed and edified in that most precious way of faith in thee alone. Lord, keep us then in the end of this week. Bring us again on thy day in thy house, if it is thy will. We thank thee, Lord, for this morning, for thy help, and for thy precious word. Without thee, we can do nothing. Forgive us of all our sins, preaching and in listening. For Jesus' sake, amen. Let us close with singing from Psalter 403, stanzas 1 and 3. And please remain seated after singing, because Elder Korvar would like to say a few words. 403, stanzas 1 and 3. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing unto our God. 'Tis right and pleasant for his saints to tell his praise abroad. 403, 1 and 3.
Pastor Maljars, on behalf of the consistory and the congregation, and then it is fitting As we stand upon the threshold of this year, the year of our Lord 2026, the Lord's indispensable blessing. The Lord has given much in the year that lies behind. He has given that you may be faithful in proclaiming his word amongst us. And we also hope and pray that the Lord will be pleased to also bless you greatly in the coming year. That he will give strength unto you to do the labors, not only in the proclaiming of his word, but also in the many visits, in the many conversations, the many questions that come to you. And that he may grant you that wisdom from above to do these labors. And that when we wish you this blessing, then it is, of course, not only the blessing in the official labors, because many times, and I've heard that from different servants of the Lord, that many times they are busy in the Word of God, searching, preparing sermons, and the Lord helps in all those things. But then sometimes they have to go home and they say, what is it for myself, for my own soul? And therefore, we also hope and pray that you may receive personal blessings for your own heart and soul, because then it will be also heard clearly, and that you not only may speak of these things, but that you may speak out of them, that you may hand out freely of those things that you may taste of, and we may believe that we hear those things, and we hope that it may continue in the future. That the Lord will strengthen you and uphold you also with your dear wife and family in our midst. Brothers in the consistory, may we also continue to work in brotherly love, that we may receive the blessing and the wisdom of the Lord in the manifold labors, and that we may truly be given to see that it is not our cause, but that it is his cause, that we may be busy in his kingdom for his honor and glory, that we may be given to look unto him who was willing to be of no reputation. Oh, we are so foolish. So often we are worried about our reputation, that we are a good office bearer. But oh, may we be given, brothers, to look unto him who was willing to leave crown and glory behind and to come to this earth, oh, to be of no reputation. May we be given to press his footsteps, that it would not be about our honor and our glory, but that we may be given, as we have heard it in this morning hour, oh, to be soldiers in his kingdom. They are soldiers with broken arms and with broken legs, but may we trust in him. And then we also think of our custodian and the helpers, manifold labors in the midst of the congregation, often not seen or thought of, and yet we wish you the Lord's indispensable blessing in this day and in this new year, and that you also may do these labors as you have done them in the past faithfully. Thank you very much for that on behalf of the consistory, but that it also may be your joy rather to be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. We think of our organist, who may also in that way help in the service of the Lord. Also, that when you may play the organ, that it may be done for his honor and glory, and that it may be also used in that way for his kingdom, the comfort of his people. We think of our choir, all of the labors there. May the Lord richly bless it, that when we come together to sing, that it may not be about our honor, but his honor. That it may be for the betterment of the congregation in the singing and in the praising of the Lord. many other things that take place, Bible study, youth groups, catechism, confession class, ladies' aid, all of those different labors that may happen, may it be with the Lord's indispensable blessing. We also think of those who go to the prison ministry to also proclaim God's word there. May the Lord be pleased to use all of these simple means. Those who volunteer in the different ways, whether it be in caring in the cleaning of the parking lot or whatever it may be, many labors are done, many labors of love. May the Lord richly bless all of these labors. And those are many things that take place. But congregation, we hope and pray that when we wish you the Lord's indispensable blessing on this day and for this year, that it may be a year of the Lord's good pleasure. A year where the Lord is pleased for the first time to work in your life, or by renewal to confirm his work. Remember, the battle is won. The Lord is no land of outer darkness to his people, but he will also speak unto them, and he will confirm his work. And may it be that our prayer be that we would beg the Lord to regard our cry, that he would hear our weeping, that he would be our comforter, that we would not be a stranger, and that he would not be a stranger, but that we may be as the travelers to Emmaus, to beg him to abide with us. And shall we sing of that? What we find in Psalter 104, and then I would like congregation to stand and sing Psalter 104, verse 6 and 9. And now, O Lord, what wait I for? I have no hope except in thee. Let not ungodly men reproach from all transgressions. Set me free. And the ninth, and may it be, congregation, not just with our voices, but with our hearts, Lord, hear my prayer. Regard my cry, I weep. Be thou my comforter. I am a stranger here below, a pilgrim, as my fathers were. It is 6 and 9 of 104.
dear brother. Thank you for your words. Dear congregation, receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God the Father, and the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.